First Peter chapter 1, and I want to begin reading in verse number 13. It says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." I've got to make an honest admission to you at the beginning of this message. I've always been hesitant to preach a message on the holiness of God. Knowing myself a lot better than you do, I'm keenly aware of my imperfections and my blemishes. And I realize that while I have been made righteous in Jesus Christ, I also remain a frail piece of flesh that's far from perfect in this life. And because of that, to be honest, I feel unqualified to preach on the subject. And so I want you to know that I approach this morning with a little bit of fear and trembling. You know, standards are probably some of the most controversial discussions that are had in a college student's life. The college has standards, you have standards, everybody has different standards. And, you know, it really amazes me to see the divisiveness and sometimes to see the carnality that comes out of a discussion on standards. You can get two college students talking about standards. And by the way, I'm not against you talking about standards, but it's amazing to me you have some people that feel like if they check the list that they're perfect and they have all the right standards. And then you have other people that say standards are unbiblical and you don't need them and you shouldn't have them. And you'll always find this, if the devil can't get you out the door, he'll at least get you to the far left or the far right. You know, I've seen some people absolutely ruined. People that at one time loved the Lord and they really wanted to do what was right. And for whatever reason, they began to be influenced a certain way and you see them living in one extreme or the other. And so this morning I want to talk to you about standards, but instead of really talking to you about standards, I'd like to say it this way. I want to talk to you this morning about the supreme standard. When you establish your standards, it's important for you to look at the supreme standard. Now the truth is we have standards in our handbook that we expect you to uphold. And for some of you, you're like, that's a little more stringent than when I came. I never heard of that. There are some of you that, you know, maybe you have standards and you came to school and you looked at the student handbook and you're like, wow, this is easy street. This makes home living. That was hard. This is really easy. I'm not sure from what perspective you come. But, you know, there's going to come a point for all of you, you're going to have to establish your own standards. You've inherited some from your parents. You've heard your friends talk about what they don't like, about what their parents had them do growing up, and that gets in your craw a little bit, and you're trying to establish your own. Can I encourage you, as you establish your standards, listen to me, make sure that you focus on the supreme standard, and that's God. Over the last few days, the last few months, my wife and daughter have gotten me into the mode of, can you hang this on the wall? And I am not a handyman by nature. It seems like everything I do like that, I have to watch YouTube and read articles and then I figure out how to do it. But I've become pretty handy with a tape measure. But it really aggravates me when it comes to hanging something because it has to be perfectly centered. And, you know, some of those people in the frame factories, they don't always center the hooks on the frame like they should. And so you find yourself having to compensate in ways that are just unrighteous. But, you know, I take out that ruler. It's an established measure. And I measure the distance across, I divide it in half, and when I put that line on the wall, I know that I'm putting it in the right place because of the standard that I'm using. And I have confidence that if you will use the standard, the ultimate standard of the holiness of God, I think it will cause you to put your marks in the right place. And so, with that being said, I want to encourage you this morning to measure your life by the supreme standard. And that standard we've read about in verse 16, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." So as we talk about this supreme standard, there are several things that I want to tell you this morning. Number one is this. When we talk about the holiness of God, listen, holiness was a major theme in the Old Testament. Holiness was a major theme in the Old Testament. I believe that holiness is a lost word when it comes to establishing standards and thinking about our life and kind behavior and conduct. Too often we merely look at a student handbook or we merely look at standards that have been set before us and we fail to understand why. Why is a very important question. And there are some people that get so disillusioned and the holiness of God is not a major theme in their lives. As a matter of fact, they don't even think about it. They're going to live their lives any way that they want. Well, for a Christian to come to that conclusion, he has to ignore the Old Testament. Leviticus 20 and verse number 7, "Sanctify therefore yourselves and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. We find, now some of you are like, "Well, that's the book of Leviticus." So are you saying that doesn't count? You know, I'm a little bit disturbed at how some people discount the Old Testament. Don't fall into that trap. I understand we're not under the law, so to speak. But do remember this, the law points us to grace, and you shouldn't be throwing it aside. There are foundational things that are found in the Old Testament. Listen, God established gender identity and sexual orientation in the Old Testament. Are you going to toss that out? But you know, the foundation of holiness is found all throughout the Old Testament. And when I read the Old Testament, there's several things that I see about how the holiness of God affected God's people. That holiness was an integral part of worshiping Jehovah. If you were going to worship God in the Old Testament, listen to me, holiness was a very important part. In other words, sanctified people worshiping in sanctified places. People who are set apart. You just don't haphazardly worship God in the Old Testament. Listen, that's how you wound up dead. It's a very important thing. I know you say, "Well, we don't have a tabernacle today and we don't have the temple and the whole." I understand that, but listen to me. Holiness is an indispensable part of worship. Not only that, but holiness was a common theme in the song book of Israel. You know, you have the book of Psalms, and you read through the Psalms, and you find various themes, but one of those themes is holiness. Psalm 22 and verse 3, "But thou art holy, O Lord, that, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." Psalm 103 and verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Psalm 99 verse 9, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." You show me a hymnal without holiness and I'll show you an incomplete hymnal. And the hymnal for the nation of Israel speaks and sings of the holiness of God, and yet God's holiness is not spoken of very much in our day and time, and it's not thought upon much by believers. Holiness was an integral part of worshiping Jehovah. Holiness was a common theme in the songbook of Israel, but holiness was also a passionate burden of the prophets. When you read through the prophets and their preaching, I don't care whether they were major or minor prophets. I think we get to heaven and we talk to one of the minor prophets. He'd want to say, "Excuse me." Our message was just as important as Isaiah's and Ezekiel's, I want you to know. Just as much from God. And I may have to clarify and say, well, Amos, it's just the book. Your book wasn't as long as the other ones. That's why we call it minor. It's no reflection upon the author. It's just a reflection upon the length. And he might say, okay, I'll let you by with that. But when you read those prophets, they're preaching about holiness. Ezekiel 22 and verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. One of their messages to the nation of Israel was the holiness of God. You see, holiness was a major theme in the Old Testament. But number two, I want you to see this, that holiness is a major theme in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, which we've read, is really a quotation of an Old Testament passage. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 tells us of a holy calling. Titus 1 and verse 8 speaks of holy pastors. Hebrews 7 and verse 26 talks about a holy high priest. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 tells us of a holy priesthood. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 mentions a holy nation. Revelation 4 and verse 8 mentions a thrice holy God. You know, there's no doubt that one of the reasons we're all here today is because of God's love. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, there's no doubt that you're here today because of God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. There's nothing wrong with you being overwhelmed by the love of God. There's nothing wrong with you being overwhelmed by the grace of God. But here is the question all of us should answer. When is the last time we have been overwhelmed by the holiness of God? When is the last time we saw God for who He is, and as a result, we saw ourselves for who we are? I was telling the fellows in evangelist class today, we were talking about the marks of revival. I was talking about how that when we see God and then we see ourselves, there's quite a difference and a contrast. I was telling about my wife, there are times that my wife comes up to me and she informs me, she says, honey, you can't wear that shirt anymore. And I'm inclined to look at her and say, well, I'm the man of this house, I can wear what I want. But I don't say that. I look at her and I say, why is that? This shirt's perfectly fine. And she'll take the shirt that's in question and she'll hold it up beside of a brand new shirt, and now one looks yellow and one looks white. She doesn't have to say anything else. I'm like, yes, ma'am. And I take it and I put it in the trash can. You know, it's amazing what comparison can do. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some of you students in here, you're really good at comparing yourself with each other. I don't have the problems Joe Mulvane has. I do better than Kyle Boylston. Sarah Beth Graves, I'll tell you, compared to her, I'm doing pretty good. Can I tell you, it's high time for us to just stop that. And take a good hard look at God. And you know what I think we'd find? I think we'd come to the same conclusion that Isaiah did when he said, woe is me, for I am undone. You see, holiness is a theme in the Old Testament. Holiness is a theme in the New Testament. But here's where I'd like to start getting a little controversial. When we're talking about standards, let me tell you number three, standards don't make you holy. standards don't make you holy. Now, you know, anytime I make a statement like that, you've got two sides. You've got some people that are saying, where's he going with this? And then you got other people that are like, amen, brother, yeah. But aside from what they're saying, their hearts are what I'm really concerned about. It's why they react the way they do. You know, if standards make you holy, then my roommate my sophomore year had us all beat. I just forwarded Brother Spencer a YouTube link of a documentary of the Amish that came out, of people that came out of the Amish, and Ivan Yoder was one of them. Ivan was my roommate my sophomore year. Ivan would tell me about his childhood, and I just marveled. I was like, wow, that's amazing. I said, is there anything that you really miss about the Amish culture? He said, I enjoyed playing outside and that type of stuff, but there was a lot of other things that I'm sort of glad that, you know, it's a thing of the past. But he would tell us about that. I'm going to tell you, if there's anybody that's set apart, white shirt and black suspenders and pants, will do it. You know, and just because a person has standards, that doesn't mean that they're holy. You know, there are some of you here, you've been raised in good homes and you've been taught great standards. But you may have a hollow heart. There are people that come to Bible college like that. Man, you haven't listened to anything other than hymns since birth. You've never worn outrageous colors. I'm wearing pink this morning. Sorry, my wife approved it. And man, I'm telling you, you've never been near the line, but your heart is hollow. Let me tell you what, those standards don't make you holy. And you know what I find? I find that people that live that way and they put their trust in standards rather than a relationship with God, there comes a day they cast it all off. And they head unbridled into the world. Standards in and of themselves don't make you holy. Let me tell you, standards without a relationship with God, all that'll do is create frustrations and lead you straight to failure. You know, there were things that I did as a kid, I did because my mom and dad told me to do, and I was right in doing that. But you know, there comes a point in your life where you've got to determine whether you're going to embrace something or not. And you know what? I've seen some. They have lived all their life adhering to standards, but they never understood the why. And when the time comes, they just throw everything out. Listen, if you're one of those that you've been taught a lot about standards, but your life is void of a relationship and an understanding of why and a foundation of the holiness of God, before you throw everything away, go back to the core and study about God's holiness, and it may be that you start understanding why some of those boundaries were set. So I told you standards don't make you holy, but I will say this, number four, holiness will cause you to have standards. Now this is again, now we've switched. Some of you are like, oh great, where's he going? The same crowd that in the previous point said, yes, say it louder, say it for the people in the back. Have you seen that? Say it louder for the people in back on social media, I see that. They're like, say it louder. Some of you in the previous point who said, say it louder, now you're like, And then the other people are like, yes, say it louder. You're on the other side of the coin in the point three. You know, if you get on blogs and you listen to podcasts, you can hear about anything you want. Did you know that? Listen, if you want to find somebody that tells you that the moon is really made of cheese, listen, there's a podcast out there for it. There's a blog that will try to tell you. You know, there's some of you and you're searching right now. Maybe you say, you know, I just don't know where I'm at with standards. And maybe you say, I've just come to the point where I'm just so disillusioned, I'm going to throw them out the window. Listen, you can find a blog that will support your position. Here's all that I ask you to do. Before you make a major decision, just make sure that this book supports your decision more than any blog or podcast. Because I'm going to tell you, a podcast, I don't care who it is, listen, they're not infallible. There are people that become disgruntled. Maybe they were mistreated and now they're spewing their hatred. And people, they listen to it and they treat it like it's the Bible. It's not. I'm telling you, a podcaster is just as flawed as any author of this book in the Bible. I'm talking about human authors. But the thing is, we can have confidence in this book because of the divine author, the Holy Spirit of God. But you know what? Holiness will cause you to have standards. By the way, do you know everybody has standards? Did you know that? Everybody in this room. People are like, I think standards are stupid. I think you just made a stupid statement. Because you have them too. Some are higher, some are lower, but sometimes young people, if you're not careful, you lend ear to the wrong people, you begin leaning the wrong way, and you start saying, well, you know what, yeah, that's crazy to have those boundaries. Let me tell you, when you take boundaries that are established off of a biblical principle, those boundaries are good. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. I want to give you a Bible illustration of this. Exodus chapter 19. We're talking about holiness and we're talking about boundaries. Now, I learned this from Dr. Surrett years ago. This was a very, very great illustration of this principle. God's holiness will necessitate that you have to mark boundaries in your life. Notice with me Exodus 19, verse number 10. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto this people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready again the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed unto yourselves that ye go not up unto the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live when the trumpet soundeth long that they come to the mount. Now, let me explain to you what's happening. God's making it clear, I'm going to sanctify this mountain when I come and descend upon it, and that no human can touch it when I'm there. And you know what God told Moses to do? He said, go set a boundary around that. There's some of you here, by your nature, you'd been dead. How close can it get? No, you know what he told? He said, Moses, this is a holy thing, and I want you to set a boundary around it. And you know what? That boundary around that kept the nation of Israel from violating what God had said. You can't deny that. And you know what? There are boundaries that are set in your life. You know why? To keep you away from the edge, to keep you away from the fringe, so that you won't even get close to violating it. I remember as a kid, I had a neighbor. I was at his house and he had an electric fence. The electric fence was to keep their horse, or maybe I think it was a horse actually. And it wasn't that stout of a fence, but it was a good fence because it was electrified. And I knew that because I touched it. But you know what? It was for my good and it was for that horse's good. And listen, one of the things we want to try to instill in you is, listen, in Christian leadership, in positions of Christian leadership, it is very important for you to set boundaries that are exemplary because of those who are following you. If you're here and you say, well, I really am not interested in being an example, well, number one, you probably won't be a great example of the believers, and number two, don't get in the ministry. Because people follow you. There's people that are going to follow you in your church. There's some of you right now, listen, there are little kids that are following you in the church that you serve in. You don't even know it. You don't even take the time to think about it. And we try to teach you to be a cut above, to stay away from the edges for their sake. Sometimes we preachers can be the most selfish people. We want to live for ourselves. We ought to live for God and we ought to live for others. You know, when you have somebody that's following you, you want to be clear in your signals. You want to be very clear so that they know where you're headed so that they won't have any problems, so that they won't have a wreck, so to speak. Now, I want to ask you, are there some of you here in this room that maybe you've really wrestled in your heart of having an attitude towards standards, whether you're for them or against them? There may be some of you, you're like, you know what, my life has been all about standards, but I've checked boxes, but my heart is hollow. And are there others of you that are here that are like, I'm ready just to throw all standards out the window? I'll tell you how you cure both extremes. Throw your opinions aside and your external influences like podcasts and blogs and look hard at the holiness of God. Measure yourself by the supreme standard. And the last thing that I want to tell you this morning is that holiness should permeate every area of our lives. Holiness should permeate every area of our lives. When the Bible says, "Be ye holy in all manner of conversation," That's a pretty extensive statement. I remember when I first came on staff, I worked under a dean of students who was, he wrote up my job description. And he was a chemical engineer. Brother Ogle knows who I'm talking about. He was a chemical engineer. He was very thorough. Naomi knows who I'm talking about. Ms. Torberson knows who I'm talking about. And probably Brother Spencer, too. Outside of that, I think I'm safe. And Brother Hankey. So I'll stop because all the old guard. But he was a chemical engineer. And he had a way, listen, he was the dean of students. If you went into a discipline committee meeting under this man's time in the dean of students' office, listen to me, he had it all together before you came in. It was like broken down. He had it all together. And when he was writing up my job description, there was one phrase at the end of it that was sort of the catch-all, and it said, "Other duties as assigned." You know, there was no getting out from under that. You know, there's a catch-all in verse 15 of 1 Peter when it says, "So be ye holy," listen to me, "in all manner of conversation." We ought to be holy in our attitudes. Those are harder to see than clothes, aren't they? You know, there's some people, man, they wear the right clothes, but boy, their attitudes are awful. There's some people on the external, you see them, and boy, you can quantify, well, he's wearing this today, and that's according to the student handbook, but yet they just have a nastiness in their souls. Sometimes identifying an attitude's like nailing jello to a wall. You just wait till you're in the ministry, and you're dealing with something, and you know they're rotten, but you just can't prove it. Attitude. And I will tell you this, I really do believe this, that carnal Christians have a tendency to belittle those that have different standards in themselves. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm a lot better than that person. Carnal Christian, you are. pride. And that goes both ways. I've heard some people and they say, well, you know, they get upset at me because I don't dress up like they do. And blah, blah, blah. And then they're the very same people that make fun and say, oh, he looks Amish. Can I tell you, they're probably both wrong. Listen, are you the kind of person you make fun of other people in this student body? You say, well, look at that skirt. Man, it's just always so long. She's Amish. You know, if that's you, I would probably say your attitude stinks. And if you're the kind of person that goes through the dorm and you can quantify everybody else's dress violations and you can't smell your own attitude, guess what? Maybe it's you that has the problem. We don't like to deal with that. We ought to be holy in our attitudes. We ought to be holy in our dress. Yesterday I was talking to a gentleman and we were talking about Bible standards for dress. We weren't talking about a student handbook, but we were talking about what the Bible says. You know, there's some of you ladies, you're going to have to figure out, what does the Bible say about modesty? What does the Bible say? And by the way, can I tell you something? Modesty is not just for females. It's just as much for males. And if you're trying to read into that, I'm just saying that what men wear, listen, that's important too. Sometimes you shake your head and you're like, listen, that's not modest, whatever you want to call it. It's just not, that's not modest apparel. Nakedness is another thing that you have to think about. What's a Bible definition of nakedness? You say, why don't you answer that question? Why don't you study the Bible? You can talk to us later and we'll help you walk through it. But you know, that sometimes people are like, standards are just stupid, and then they go dress any way that they want. Listen, you better make sure you're within the parameters of this book. Ask yourself, does my wardrobe, is it in accordance with the holiness of God? And if you say the Bible speaks nothing about my wardrobe, you're mistaken. In our entertainment, be holy. You know, just recently, and this is just a candid admission on my part, I do use social media. But you know, I'll tell you, I've been really grieved as of late because one of the forms of social media that I use, they've changed some of their format to where now every time I open that app, it's always showing me stuff that I, they're not my friends. I don't want to see these reels, I think they call it. All right? And I look through there and like, you know, I look across the top, there's like four of them and I'm like, I don't want to see any of this. I mean, it looks like, I think, like, middle-aged women dominate TikTok. I mean, it's just like, I look, I'm like, I just want to see, you know, Brother Ogle's devotional thought for the day that he posts, like, at 3 o'clock every morning. I don't know how he does that. Or, you know, I just like to see how the Hamiltons are doing. But I'm looking through there. But you know, there is so much, young people, that is accessible to us and that you can look at without anybody ever knowing. And God's holiness ought to permeate that. Oh, I'm convinced. I don't care whether it's Snapchat or whatever you're using. Does God's holiness permeate that? There's some of you who are like, I wouldn't want my parents to see what I'm texting, or I wouldn't want my parents to see who, I wouldn't want them to see who I'm Snapchatting, or I wouldn't want them to see this or that. Let me tell you, you got a far greater problem on your hands. The problem is this, you can hide it from your finite parents, but not from an omniscient God. And I think a long time before we worry about revival sweeping through the capital of the United States, we better worry about it sweeping through places like this, because we become aware afresh and anew of the holiness of God. In all manner of conversation. I'm not the measuring stick and you're not the measuring stick, but God is. And I think now is a great time for all of us to start measuring ourselves by the supreme standard. When God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy."